What's up, Internet, and welcome to episode 59 of Radio Radar. I'm Hollander Cooper. Here with me is...
Henry Gilbert.
Greg Henniger.
Ryan Telchanek.
And let's jump right into it. Let's just keep going.
Top 7.
The top 7 weirdest theories about the Pokemon universe.
It's the top 7.
Beautiful.
That was Project Alpha sent that one
so
in.
Oh, good.
And it's very good. I like having him whisper top 7 into my ears.
That's all I ever
wanted.
It
got me aroused, I gotta say.
Like, oh,
I'm
good.
Excited for the top 7 because now
you're at half mass.
I'm sexually invested.
Sporting a chub? I don't know.
Okay, you got a little too far with that one, Greg. I'm a little grossed out and disappointed by you.
It is the top 7 weirdest things about the Pokemon universe. Written by Ashley Reed, freelancer for Games Radar.
Is that a man or a woman?
A woman. We met her at PAX.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. She was actually nice.
We had a conversation about why Final Fantasy 13-2 is better than Final Fantasy 13, and both of them combined are not as good as any previous Final Fantasy.
That sounds about right. So let's jump into it. Number 7, Jinx is a mythological succubus.
Succubus.
Yes. Mm. Reason being, so in history, mythology.
Okay.
in mythology, the succubus is a female figure that lures men usually into a lair of some sort and sucks their life force. Essentially,
sirens.
Yes, essentially. And that's pretty much the description of Jinx in the Pokemon universe. She's a weird creature that looks vaguely female-like, and like sirens or mermaids, the whole thing is she looks enough like a human to trick you from afar, and then you get close and you're like, oh, I'm about to die.
Is Jinx the one that looks like she's in blackface?
Yeah, Jinx is the one that looks like she's in blackface.
They
just had to bring that, baby up. They,
yeah, no, she looks like she's in blackface. There's no other way to put it.
They lightened that up a little in later ones. So,
literally.
Look, they just didn't know what blackface was.
Well, the thing is, her description specifically says something along the lines. It says that she moves her hips like she's dancing, and anyone, human, Pokemon, whatever, that sees it starts doing it also and can't control themselves, which is just disturbing if you think about it, because, like, what if she walked by a construction site? You would have people dropping, just death all around. People just start dancing and dropping what they're doing.
At a hula hoop contest.
Ooh.
Or a hula.
I suppose, yes.
That's a terrible joke. I was going to say she must have the same powers as Jim Carrey does in The Mask.
Pretty much.
Your joke was better than hula hoop contest?
Infinitely so. Better.
I had a much deeper reference.
The Mask.
Yours was based on comedy. His was based on the 90s. So obviously, if you listen to our readers and listeners, making fun of the 90s is the only way to go.
I bet nobody's thought of that Cuban Pete scene in a very long time.
I don't think anybody's thought of Jim Carrey in a little while.
I'm the king of the rumba beat. I go boom,
beautiful,
chicky, boom, chicky, boom, boom, chicky.
Number 6, Pokemon are energy beings that manipulate physics.
So,
I mean, yeah.
This one is sort of awesome.
It's pretty much.
It pretty much explains. So Pokemon, it essentially says that Pokemon are not actually creatures in and of themselves. Like, when what you see as a Caterpie is actually a being of pure energy, which explains when you capture a Pokemon why they turn into light and get sucked into a Pokeball.
So then why do people get so butthurt about Digimon? They're like, Digimon are just fucking digital codes. They're
because
Pokemon you can pet and
well,
because
you can still pet them.
But they're both, so if you're saying they're both pure energy, they're exactly the same.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Well, I would think that the Pokemon's energy comes from, you know,
love.
Ancient power of the universe, not
and not the digital
and
age.
Friendship.
Yeah. That actually kind of is.
Also, Digimon can talk to you.
Pokemon can talk to each other.
Yeah, that's boring.
Unless
you're a Pokemon.
But yeah, the other reason that this makes sense is it sort of explains why evolutions look like they do. So when a Pokemon evolves, it's just a bright flash of light, and then all of a sudden they look totally different.
Mm-hmm,
and it explains why, like, so the actual thing came. It came from a Redditor who they were trying to figure out how Pokeballs work, and it's like, what if they turn into light and the inside of a Pokeball is just a bunch of mirrors and they just bounce around forever until you throw the Pokeball and then they come out? And it's like,
that's why they shoot out, too.
They shoot out like a cannon.
Huh.
Huh.
Hmm. Yeah, no, that makes total. And that's why they turn into energy when you suck it back. They're just a line of energy into the center of the ball.
It really makes more sense than it should.
But how do they get sucked into the ball? I get why they're bouncing out of it.
Mirrors wouldn't suck them in.
Well, there's probably some kind of other technology in there.
A succubus.
If you're the owner of the Pokemon and you're holding the ball, I guess it's like registered to your DNA, and then you just make a voice command of Charmander return.
Exactly.
And it's sucked back in.
Exactly. Fucking exactly. Number five, Cubone is a mutated baby Kangaskhan.
I can see it.
So this is one that has sort of just become, like, for most Pokemon fans, they consider this one to just be fact.
Right.
So it's just Kangaskhan is a kangaroo who has a Pokemon in its pouch. That's all it is. It's a kangaroo,
it's a
mixed with a
kangaroo.
Yeah, it's a Godzilla kangaroo. Cubone looks like a baby kangaroo wearing the skull of a larger baby kangaroo, or a larger kangaroo, and the description says that it wears the skull of its mother.
Of its mother, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
So they have slightly different colors and slightly different, they look a little different, mm-hmm. but they both have almost the same, like, Godzilla-like, like Godzilla armadillo kangaroo. Yeah, thing
they're
going
pretty
on.
Identical.
Cubone is just a creepy. It's on our creepy Pokemon list. Well, Cubone is such a weird, sad thing.
I always liked him in the show, though.
Yeah,
he was
cool
super cute thing. In the show. They never talk about the fact that he's wearing his mother's skull.
I like how I liked Farfetch'd on the show too. He would always
show up. Yeah, he had that leak.
He
would
like people with it. I never knew what a leak. I never knew what a leak was until that show.
Have you ever eaten a leak?
Yes,
maybe once or twice.
Think.
Probably. Leeks. You eat a lot of Asian food.
Well, that's racist.
No, it's not. You don't find leeks in any other type of food, pretty
that's
much.
That's true. You're right.
I also, it was a long time before I realized Kangaskhan was a kangaroo reference. Like, that it was Kangaskhan, Kang. Yeah. I never got that.
Okay, I'm going to be totally honest. As soon as I read it on this podcast is when I got it. For some reason, I just never thought about it until now.
I always thought it was a Genghis Khan.
Well, there's that. It's Genghis Khan as a kangaroo.
Yes.
Kangaroo Khan.
This is why you are not naming Pokemon.
That's a popular convention in Australia.
Kangaroo. All right, you're currently winning.
Thank you.
You're winning the podcast joke pool.
Let's keep a score the whole show.
Yep. Number four, Slowpoke is...
Omniscient.
This is one of my favorite ones.
Yeah.
So Slowpoke, the description of Slowpoke in the game is that if he gets hurt, he doesn't even feel it for a few minutes. He's really, 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 it looks like he's really stupid.
Yeah.
Like, so he has a vacant expression.
I love that look.
He just kind of sits there with his mouth open. He's behind the times kind of a thing. He's just supposed to be like, take the dumbest person you know and make them a sloth.
Yeah.
And that is what a Slowpoke is.
He sticks his tail in the water and just kind of chills until something actually clamps onto it, and he doesn't register it for like
it's a few hours. Minutes. Yeah,
yeah. Then he just pulls it out.
But he has that look on his face is the best part. It's just wide open eyes and like a gape mouth, like he's just seen the universe. And this theory is that he has.
Yeah,
it's not, and because there's a bunch of reasons for this. Number one. He's a psychic Pokemon, which there are plenty of things they could have made him other than psychic based on what he looks like. He could have been normal type, water type. He looks like a hippopotamus. So why is but he's psychic, and psychic Pokemon are usually super smart. Also, he turns into a Pokemon that apparently is the smartest Pokemon.
And speaks English.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's the smartest Pokemon, and it has like it's extremely powerful, and it's being bit by a Cloyster.
Yeah.
So the theory is they are Slowpokes are at all times aware of all information in the universe.
Well,
that's why they have that look on their face like they're freaking going through space in 2001. Like just like blank, like they can't deal with the fact that they are being just
bombarded
with facts.
I also like this idea that perhaps it is that it's just an information overload and they're like, oh, well, what the fuck? But maybe it's also they've seen everything and they're bored as hell. They're like, there's nothing that will surprise
the
me.
The reason people think it's they're overloaded is because Cloysters have some poison moves. So the idea is they're seeing everything. They're barely attached to reality. But when they're being clamped down on by a poisonous Pokemon,
it brings them back.
Yeah, they're being grounded in reality, so they're able to actually use that information. It's like the slight poison is keeping them aware and alive. I love that. It almost sounds like a cutter. Yeah.
Like,
I read a lot of dumb Pokemon stuff, and this list is full of things I've never heard of. The next one is another one that I've heard of. This one's been around for a while.
I have heard of this one.
Is one that is, like, I personally consider this one to just be true. So it's that Dittos are corrupted Mews.
Well, because I think it goes into the thing with Mewtwo being a clone.
Yeah, Mewtwo is
Ditto
a clone.
Is a failed clone.
Yeah, Mewtwo is a failed clone of Mew also. Mm-hmm. He is. They scientists were like, Mew is a legendary Pokemon, extremely powerful, let's clone it, and they ended up getting a deformed version, which is Mewtwo.
Mm-hmm. Or, no, Ditto.
No, Mewtwo is not. Mewtwo isn't a perfect clone.
No, he's not a perfect clone either.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They tried to make a clone, and they ended up with Mewtwo, which isn't an exact clone. It's an imperfect clone.
I think Ditto is a clone also.
Well, yeah, that's another. the rumor that he is another failed. There is canon in the Pokemon universe that scientists have tried and failed to clone a Mew. There are two Pokemon in the Pokemon universe that have the exact same weight and the same moves and the same color palette, and it's Mew and Ditto.
Only two.
They are both found in the same area of the game.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't you find them like outside
Cinnabar Island, is it? Mm-hmm. And you have to assume they're just like, let's try to clone him. Nope. Throw the Ditto out the window. They're the only two Pokemon that can learn Transform. They not only have pretty much the same color, but so in Pokemon, there's a 1 in 30,000 chance that there can be a shiny version of the Pokemon, mm-hmm. which is just another color scheme. They have the same shiny color as well. They both weigh 8.8 pounds. Like, it is so... It's not like they're like, yeah, they weigh about 10. It's 8.8 exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think this one is just true. It would make Ditto way more interesting because all Ditto is right now is just a sex machine.
A blob.
They actually call him in one of the games sex a love machine.
if you want to breed Pokemon, you can bring together two of the same type or two different types and see what you end up, or two different Pokemon and see what you get.
Yeah, you always end up with the female, but with male's moves sometimes.
Yeah, but if you have a Ditto can sleep with any Pokemon you want, and you're going to get a copy, well, not a copy, but the same Pokemon it has sex with.
Yeah, if you have and that's how people get the starters to breed usually. Like, if you have a Charmander or a Charizard, and it's a male Charizard, there's nothing you can do, but throw it in there with a Ditto, all of a sudden Ditto goes like, I'd fuck you, and turns into a female Charizard, and then they just start bumping uglies.
Well, I like how they describe it at the Pokemon ranches where they go like, these two are kind of dancing together. They seem to like each other. Well, come back. Hey, we got an egg. They don't make it explicit for the children, but they're just like, these two Pokemon are here, and then we got an egg for some reason.
And it happens to be like one of them. Yeah. It's the day. The weirdest thing is that you're leaving two Pokemon at a daycare, and they're having sex at a daycare.
Creating more babies.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have sex
at a daycare.
No one should be having sex at daycare. Not even just two consenting adults. No.
Not even after hours when all the kids leave.
Most people, yeah.
On all of the sleeping squares.
yeah, they roll out those little foam mats.
So what about in the kids? Like, I went to a daycare, but it was just people's house. So they're not allowed to have sex in their home, Henry?
If they chose to have a daycare, Ryan. I mean, that's a sacrifice they got to make.
They did. I hated that place.
A sexless zone.
Yeah, I had to stay with some old lady and her old husband. And, yeah, it was just a bunch of kids. It sucked. She made terrible peanut butter and jelly.
Although, the one I was with,
you used to give it to you by throwing it at Henry and saying, you're a terrible child.
No, she would use weird jellies. I just wanted strawberry jelly, and she would use like.
How do you make a bad peanut butter sandwich? Don't have sex for 12 years. You make a pretty shitty PB&J.
The people at my daycare made a delicious cold treat called they called it Purple Moon, and it was,
Blue Moon?
I'm sorry, no, like Purple Cow. Purple Cow, and it was basically like a grape flavored ice cream. It was really nice, very good.
It was nice.
Although the people that worked there were not very great people. I didn't like
again.
Them.
Haven't had sex.
Yeah. Number two on the list,
I'll do it.
Arceus used Unknown to create the universe. So there are a lot of legendary Pokemon that the description is like, controls time and space.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, in the Japanese text, they just straight up say, like, these guys are gods. But in America, they kind of have, in some cases, they call them gods. In America, they kind of have to change that because gods means a different thing.
So, yeah, Arceus looks like a horse, essentially. It's a black and white horse. Here is the description from Diamond and Pearl. In Pearl, it says, it is told in mythology that this Pokemon was born before the universe existed. And then,
no big deal.
Remember that it's shaped like a horse.
Uh-huh.
It is described in mythology as the Pokemon that shaped the universe with its thousand arms. It doesn't have any arms. That's not a thing in the game.
With its four hooves.
Meanwhile, in the I'm pretty sure in Diamond and Pearl, it uses unknown to create, like, unknown or just little shitty Pokemon that look like the alphabet soup.
I was going to say, yeah. They would make a great cereal. I'm surprised they didn't make one of those.
And they say that unknown can merge together to alter reality. And they're in the same game. They're in the same area. So the theory is it sort of used them to shape everything.
There's
so
a good Pokemon
reality
movie where they do that.
Is made up of unknowns.
Those are his... Those are his arms, I guess. The unknown.
The arms being like,
symbolic arms.
Like saying somebody is the hand of the king.
Right.
He's not literally his hand.
Well, he has some use to unknowns. Unknowns are pretty lame, in my opinion. Otherwise,
what's the deal with unknowns? Like when you in Red and Blue, like you would randomly find them. They're like they looked like a glitch or something.
There was the actual like glitch Pokemon
that was Missing No.
Yeah,
Missing No. That's what I'm thinking of.
I think he's connected to that. But
Unknown. I always thought is like the canon explanation of Missing No. Like
unknowns are the Metachlorians of the Pokemon universe.
Pretty much. So, yeah, here's the description of Unknown. Unknown, the symbol Pokemon, are said to have existed since ancient times. They are in many form, but little is known about them. And then they say they communicate with them by changing shape. And they're like, they're in the movies and stuff, you see like hieroglyphics that's written in Unknown.
Mm-hmm.
So.
That's really weird. I guess I didn't realize those existed.
They surround us.
Yes.
Bind us together.
They go into that in Gold and Silver the first time. Like you go into an archaeological dig where people are collecting unknowns.
Hmm.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
So number one on the list of the weirdest Pokemon theories and my personal favorite one, Pokemon don't say their names. Language was created around their battle cries.
That's pretty cool.
I love this one. Because it actually kind of simplifies things, where it's like, all right, so what's more likely? The fact that a little fire-covered lizard walked up to some people that were making food, and they're like, no, don't char your food. And then he's like, Charmander. I got it. Or humans hearing Charmander are seeing things being lit on fire and start to use the word char to describe things that are burnt. If you look at the way human language came together, there's things like chandelier was another language's version. It was like kindelier, which came from kindling, which came from candle. Like languages, when they're evolving, that's how they actually evolve. So the idea is like if there's a Pokemon that looks like a lamp post and it's named Lampo, people probably were like, that'd be a good ass way to light our street. Let's make a lamp post.
So humans, the only thing we have to thank humans for in terms of language is the creation of conjunctions and words that bind sentences together.
Yes.
I think you're underplaying the importance of conjunctions. Have you not seen Schoolhouse Rock?
Do you not know their function?
I'm not underplaying the importance. I'm saying...
We really don't appreciate how you're downplaying conjunctions right now.
So what would Pikachu be? Like he's something's
peeking. Urination.
Someone's peeking at you.
Well, I don't think all of the names. Hey, girl, let me peek at you.
Yeah.
This one only falls down for the characters that came from Japan and that kept their Japanese names.
Right.
And, they all came from Japan, I guess I mean.
Yes.
Only the ones that kept their Japanese names, like Pikachu.
That's something that I always thought Pokemon had a big leg up on Digimon with. Because, all the,
Digimon
they were like, Myotismon, Demidevimon, like those kinds of things. But then, like, they got super lazy and they would just be garbage mons.
Well, I mean,
Scarecrow mon.
There's
supposed to be, like, an English word and then add mon to the
I mean,
end
there's
of
a Pokemon named Pineco and it's a pine cone with googly eyes.
I know, but in Digimon,
like,
it
literally
would be a pine cone mon. Like, at least
that's
they.
That's pretty bad, yeah.
At least they took out that
Demi-Mormon?
Demi-Devimon.
Ryan, look at Pineco. It's just a pine cone with eyes.
Oh, boy.
There's also an ice cream Pokemon.
Really?
It's my least favorite Pokemon.
What's his name?
Vanillite?
I was close.
Isn't it Vanillite?
I think that is right, yeah.
I like when we talk about things like this with Henry, because he just gets super somber. Like, yeah, that's what he's called.
Well, one Cotton of my favorites said that kind of name. It was an owl called Hoot Hoot, I think it was.
Oh, yeah. Right. I remember Hoot Hoot.
Yeah.
He stands on one leg, right?
Yeah. He was one of my favorites, and he was one of my go-to guys for a while in Gold. And
do you ever rename your Pokemon when you catch them?
I don't do that, nah. I know
I
other
used
people
to.
Get into that.
My The only reason I have Pokemon that are renamed is because when my wife plays, she renames all of them.
Uh-huh.
And I just get things like my Garchomp is just named Gary. And it's gotten to the point where I'm just like, all right, Gary, go. Fuck! Like, that's just what they become to me.
Yeah.
I also have a problem where I forget Pokemon names. So if I do rename them, I'll never know what any of them are called.
Yeah, I usually just take their most, like, distinguishing feature and add, like...
Ite? Do you name them Digimon names?
No, I wish I did. That'd be good.
You should do that when you get X and Y.
Yeah.
Just rename them, them all by what their Digimon names would be.
Nice.
That'd be great.
Come trade with me.
Ooh. You get an XY this weekend?
I sure am.
Ryan?
Yeah, I'm gonna.
All right.
I'm going to get one of them.
Don't puss out.
I don't know.
Ryan, we'd really, really appreciate it if you don't fuck this up for us.
I've been saying all along I'm going to get one of them.
Who's getting X and who's getting Y?
I don't know.
Y.
I'll get X.
You'll get X?
I'll get X.
I'm already 50 hours into Y, so my die is
cast. So we'll go X?
Let's go X.
All right.
Double X.
X gonna, and also, I've already bred all of the Pokemon, so if you want any extras.
Ooh.
Cooper's just done with the game.
I'm pretty done with the game. Wow. I'm actually just waiting until you guys think you're good enough to play competitively so that I can be like, all right, I still have 100 hours on you. Let's do this.
And I will crush you.
I want to make it so you never play another Pokemon game again. That's my goal.
I want my... Oh, no. I can't have my team be all of the Pokemon we just talked about.
You could.
I have to beat the game first, right?
Oh, yeah. You could do Arceus, Cubone, Slowpoke... Jinx.
Well, wait, Arceus is a legendary. How are you going to find him in the game?
Maybe he's in there.
Oh, that's right. We're still under embargo.
I actually don't think he's in there.
Oh. You can't confirm either way.
That's true. I...
Go on.
Adequate.
We should be going on to the next segment.
We should. So let's take a quick break and we will be right back.
See you, driving buddies.
Fuck you.
Hey everyone, we're back for segment two of our...
Does that sound at all
bye, Holland and Cooper. How you've changed.
Was it even
remotely? You gotta be more like... All right, and now we're back with this thing!
All right, we're back with segment two!
That's a little closer, yeah. Yeah.
Is that, I don't think I've ever heard Coop say anything like this. I'm Tom Agrino, sitting in for the host seat of segment two. It's weird that I'm the host these days.
You're hosting it.
Because, I mean,
wish you
hostess.
Weren't.
You're the hostess.
Really?
I'm just kidding.
The really?
I like
with
fine.
The mostess.
I used to have my own podcast.
Oh, God.
And now
probably
I'm just like an
horrific.
Also ran.
The Magrino Show.
The Magrino Show. Fun fact, when I was a small child, I used to do this thing because I was really lonely called Tommy Talk, where only Tommy talks.
Jesus Christ.
Did you do this in like a closet? Or
no,
like...
it was in...
This might be sadder than the fact that Greg has no friends.
Yeah.
Wait, Tommy Talk.
Tommy Talk, where only Tommy talks.
Well, where
it was my own personal talk show.
Tell us in the comments, driving buddies, as Greg yeah. likes to say, yeah. if you had your own talk time.
Did you have your own talk time?
Tommy Talk.
Where only you talk.
Now tell us a little more about Tommy yeah. Talks, because I
want to know
more. I don't remember anything other than my catchphrase, which is Tommy Talk. Where only,
where
Tommy,
only
talks.
Tommy talks. Did yeah. you talk to your cat? Were you talking to stuffed animals?
I think I was trying to talk to anyone who would listen to me.
He was talking to God.
But not let them talk.
Right, because...
You'd be like, so what'd you do today? And they'd start to answer you, so, no,
no,
no.
No, no, no.
Only Tommy talks.
only Tommy talks.
And just put your finger up against their lips.
Well, it's weird for me to even think of you as a Tommy.
I know. Does anyone call you Tommy?
The only people who call me Tommy at this point are...
Time to start.
I might need to start calling you Tommy.
Tommy, yeah.
You did this to yourself, Tommy.
Wait, who still does?
Oh, so my grandmother, obviously.
Your mommy.
My grandmommy. My grandmommy.
Tommy and mommy.
Mamaw.
Mamaw?
Mamaw.
I don't like when people call their grandmothers Meemaw or Mamaw.
I call her Nana.
Or it's, Nana.
I have
just call her Grandma.
No, it's Nanny. Papaw. Sorry, Nanny.
Yeah, my I had a Papaw.
A Peepaw?
Well, no, yeah, Papaw and Peepaw when you peepaw. Have two grandfathers. Yeah, uh-huh. You
or I call them Grandpa T,
they're
Grandpa
all,
J.
They're all dead now.
So Hillary's dad is named Paul, and we're going to try and get whenever
Paul,
we
Paul,
have
Paul.
Kids. We're going to have them call him Grandpa.
That's clever.
Right?
Yeah, yep. I like it.
I was pretty happy with that.
Nice work.
Hmm. All right, Tommy, what you got for us?
Anyway, so we're moving on to the news segment.
Please, 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 somebody come up with a bumper for Tommy Talk.
Oh, we can have
Tommy
Talks.
Tommy Talks.
Where only Tommy Talks.
We're only the tummy talks.
We're only
tummy talks.
Tummy tucks?
Tummy
THQ suing EA and UFC over deal.
Yes.
That's a little truncated. Licensing deals.
Yeah, this, first off, I didn't even know THQ existed enough to sue someone.
They're just like a shell of a corporation consisting entirely of lawyers at this point.
So the story THQ tells in their lawsuit is
a pretty sordid one.
It's pretty crazy if it's true. So, all right. In the last year, EA is all like, hey, THQ, we'll just buy you. Let's start talking about how we're going to buy you. And, like, THQ just opens up their books to sharing every, like, secret with EA so they know how much they're paying for what all their contracts are. Then, as THQ alleges in their lawsuit, EA then just went through back channels to UFC and told them the exact, like, price to offer THQ to quit. And they said that, like, UFC then went to THQ and were like, hey, we'll pay $5 million. We know you need money, so we'll pay $5 million to get out of our contract, even though THQ says it was worth at least 10, but they just took it. And then, surprise, surprise, EA then turns around and makes a deal with UFC. And meanwhile, EA, once they saw all of THQ's info, was like, eh, nah, we don't want to buy it. See ya. And just let it die.
Wow.
Which, I don't know, I find that somewhat believable. That just sounds like your regular kind of corporate thing.
Yeah.
Corporate. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, hey, there's something that's dying. Let me see how much I can pillage of it before it actually goes.
Well, I mean, especially UFC being such an increasingly popular thing.
And UFC was like the biggest franchise at THQ for a little bit.
Well, EA Sports really fucked up with UFC. Like, they could have had it. They went to UFC first and at the time, EA Sports looked down on this is the story as told by the owner of UFC, the very verbose
Dana White.
Dana Carvey.
Mm-hmm. Dana Carvey White. He was saying like that EA turned him down and was like, ugh, you guys are gross blood sport. We don't want your disgusting sport. And then when
It's really fun to watch.
In that gladiatorial way.
I think you'll see way worse and more harm done to boxers in a boxing match than you will in a UFC match.
I don't know, man. I've seen some pretty heinous.
I've watched arms break and just horrible shit happened.
Blood all over the place.
Bones breaking is rare, but okay. Let me at least from a head injury angle.
Football.
You knock out it. Let's not even talk about that. But in UFC, you knock out a dude. They're down. The ref doesn't do a standing eight count and let him be punched in the face more.
It's immediate, like, get off, you're done. This is over.
You knocked him out. But in boxing, it is just over and over, like, standing eight counts, like, until the ref finally gives the THQ a THQ TKO. Anyway. So now EA got the UFC license. That was like one of the biggest surprises at E3 2012.
And they never really even did anything with it. Like EA Sports MMA.
Well, yeah, that was their competitor to it. It was kind of the equivalent of when Madden got NFL exclusively. 2K put out that 2K Sports All Star game with all those every free agent and old.
Right. O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, O.J. Simpson was in it.
Yeah, he was.
But, EA Sports MMA was just getting everybody who wasn't signed to an exclusive UFC deal and put them in one game. But without that, just like if you have a football game without the NFL logo, if you have an MMA game without the UFC logo, you're not going to sell anything. Mm-hmm. So
That's them's the breaks.
So we'll see if THQ gets their money back from UFC.
It seems like it would be a difficult thing to prove.
Yeah, it's difficult to prove. I also think whether it's true or not, it's facts of desperation from THQ where there. I think they probably have some lawyer who's like, is there anybody we could sue to get some more money to pay off some of these debts? Like, well, we could sue EA and UFC. We maybe have a case there. All right, do it. We need money. Like,
anyway, I presume that we will hear more about that in the future. It's weird to still be talking about THQ. I mean, I feel it's just like, guys, you're done.
Yeah.
Yet chopped. Anyway, Drive Composer says he's scoring Far Cry 4. Mm-hmm. Shockingly enough, a composer or a one-off participant in a game has outed said game.
A guy who's more too big for the game industry, like who doesn't care if he spoils something.
Right. Who is it? Martinez?
Used to be the drummer of Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Really? Mm-hmm. What is this guy's
turned
name?
Video game composer.
I'm trying to find the guy's name. There it is. Cliff Martinez. Comments.
Cliffy M.
Cliffy M. But yeah, no, so I don't think anybody is actually surprised that there's
no,
a Far Cry.
No, not at all. I mean, especially when Ubi basically said, like, Far Cry 3 was far and away their most successful Far Cry game. Like, not surprising.
Yeah, right? It was great.
That is going to look so good on next gen, right?
Far Cry. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? That's going to be great.
I wonder if they're just going to find a new island. All of them have been
islands. Well, the thing
right?
is. And, yeah.
Far Cry 2 has been. Africa.
Right. But, yeah. but I think Africa. The island setting makes so much sense because it's the only setting they could do that has that degree of diversity in. And what it looks climates. Like and the things you can do
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I mean, if you like put it in the rainforest, it would be similar, just no real like water.
Yeah. I guess you could find that, like, if it's on the Amazon or something.
Yeah.
Like, get, like
go
a big,
rivers. And
like a river kind of situation. Yeah.
Denial.
That could work. But it would be really dense.
The Amazon River.
The Amazon
in,
River.
In any case, I really also hope that they're able to find another, put at least one other compelling character into their game. Because, I mean, I think one of the reasons 3 was so successful is Voss just really resonated with a lot of people.
Yeah. But there are no, like, recurring... Like, no. Far Cry has no connective tissue to each game, really. Though, I wouldn't put it past Assassin's Creed to do... Far Cry. Jesus. I wouldn't put it past the Ubisoft with Far Cry to... They could make 4 a prequel and just put Voss in that. Like
play as Voss.
Yeah. Play as Voss. Voss's rise to power.
Rise to just sadistic murder.
Just murder and rape and pillage a lot.
Instead of decoding raided towers, you build them. Ooh. Very exciting.
Far Cry is one of those franchises where I feel like it's kind of got it does the same thing over and over and over again in different locations.
So it's Assassin's Creed.
Is it Assassin's Creed?
I mean... If you were making that statement.
We had a whole article last year about how it was a better... Far Cry 3 was a better Assassin's Creed than Assassin's Creed.
Oh, really?
It is basically Assassin's Creed. I feel like at least with Assassin's Creed 4, they're doing the whole ship thing, which is going to fundamentally change.
Yeah, they're
adding
a huge new element to it.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of franchises in that bucket where it's just like, all right, now go do the exact same thing you did in the game before it. With more stuff and in a different environment. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they'll do that with Far Cry again.
I mean, probably.
Probably. Are you okay with that? Can you
I
get
know.
Over it?
I don't know. I mean, I'll be okay with it maybe. It depends if I feel it's fun to do.
I wonder how important it is to make like these huge, or maybe just like real substantive breaks in the games that come before it.
Well, it's just hard in the annualization like racket there is. I think the maybe Far Cry has a better chance because it didn't get an annual release this year. It did have the Blood Dragon like in between things. So maybe that's what these game companies should just do is they have a real game every 2 years and then just a less resource intensive DLC thing in between.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
especially if they sell them as standalone things. Yeah. Like, you don't need Far Cry 3 to play Blood Dragon.
Yeah.
You can just buy it as a separate thing. And it's like, now that'll also kind of give you a taste of what you can expect. And I would, you know, maybe it'll result in more sales.
moving on. So, I don't want to surprise anyone here, but Injustice Gods Among
Us.
Injustice Gods Amongst.
Our the program gets rid of the word "us." It's a
really?
Apparently a lame word for SEO. So when they built our URL builder, if it sees a word like "us" or "the," because that's
it
why
it should still be in the headline though.
It is in the headline. Just
Injustice
on the
Gods Among coming to PS4, PC.
Oh, that was on our
Vita.
Post.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and fix that while Henry, you tell us.
All right. So
why this is interesting.
Well, all right, it's not very interesting that it's coming to PC and Vita. We all expected that, and they always, like, repackage. This is exactly what they did with Mortal Kombat, where just 6 to 9 months later, they put all the DLC into the game and then sell it as one thing. But I think it's interesting that it's coming to the PS4.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it'll be the first next-gen fighting game, and I'm curious to see how much they, you know, up how big a change you'll see in the graphics between
right.
them. Because I think Injustice looked really good. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought it was a very good-looking game anyway, and so...
Well, did they say when it's coming out? Because technically Killer Instinct will be the first next-gen fighting game.
Well, who thinks that, who counts that game?
Oh,
oh that's a baby game.
Free to play baby
I think they did say when it's coming out, but I don't
baby
know
garbage.
Off the
yeah.
top of my head.
Quiet, Tommy.
I mean, I guess, I guess babies have garbage.
If Tom's on the page, babies make garbage everywhere.
Babies are garbage.
Babies are garbage.
Babies?
Babies are garbage. I mean, sometimes you see a baby, you're like, fuck, I gotta throw that thing away. Who would litter like that?
Are you afraid of babies?
Am I afraid of them?
Yes. Because I physically recoil when somebody tries to hand me a baby.
No, I was the same way until my sister had a baby. And I'm like, all right, fucking.
So it's in the family kind of thing?
Yeah. It's like, all right, I'll hold a baby as long. Like, because then I just start feeling weird about it, you know? It's like, here, hold the baby. And I'm like, no, this is weird for me. Stop
I'm afraid that I'm just going to, like, snap it in half accidentally or break it.
Babies are, their bones are basically rubber. So you can just
and they've got that soft spot on their head.
Yeah, yeah. So they're very
just
durable.
Push into their brain.
No, so why would you say that? That's terrible.
No, because
right? Babies are terrible.
Yeah. No, but they're very durable.
They cry.
I that's mean, what I'm afraid. I'm afraid of obviously. Holding a baby. Just like, what if I drop it? That's all.
If you drop it, it's fine. Just don't shake it. That's what I know about babies.
I see. I had a dream.
I was actually. Steel. I was dropped. I was actually dropped. I mean, do we want to hear about me being dropped?
Wait,
I want
to hear about Henry's
dream.
First Henry's dream, then Tommy's drop story.
All right, I had a dream once where I was tasked with taking care of this this 3-inch tall baby that was inside a teacup.
Uh-huh.
And then the lady was like,
what?
And then the lady was like, take care of my baby and don't put it on the stove. And I was like, of course not. And then I just absentmindedly just put the cup down on the stove and I like boiled the baby.
Wow.
And then all I just felt was like intense guilt and horrible.
At least you felt something.
And then the mother like yelled at me for like the rest of the dream.
And then she drank the teacup.
You're just sitting there. And the mom is like, oh.
What did I just tell you?
I said, not to do one thing. Do not put that baby on the stove. And what did you do?
You put it on,
oh, come on.
All right. So I'm going to get Tom.
That was strange.
That dream was weird in many ways.
I love
it. Have you ever tried to interpret it?
I think it was I'm afraid of taking responsibility, and I think that's
also babies, and I don't like tea.
Really?
Do you cook things?
I see tea is a negative, too. Yeah. This is when I think, first moved out to my parents' place. I was doing more cooking at the time, too. Maybe I was nervous about that.
You were thinking
accidentally
about
cooking
the
baby.
The baby was a metaphor for every delicate, delicious meal you could ever make.
Henry is himself the baby.
What?
And he was afraid that he would
lose his innocence.
Because
he'd boil it alive.
Right. He would just fuck everything up. Like
but
his
why
parents
was he
had
3 inches
had
tall
raised
in
the
teacup.
This perfect.
Oh, he felt small.
Oh, no. The baby. Yeah. The baby is like my soul or my identity.
And now that you are the one, the sole person.
I have to take care of
yourself.
Charge
of your own.
Yeah. See, now it makes sense.
Yeah. I have to. At the time, I was having to take care of myself, and I was afraid I wouldn't know how to do it.
Exactly.
And you hate tea.
And you and you would just absentmindedly do things.
I've tried to like tea more.
Tea's all right.
Mainly green tea.
I didn't realize that all tea comes from the same leaf. Like, there's no different types of leaf.
I had a really interesting
thing about tea.
When I first started drinking wine, you know how people are like, oh, yeah, I've got hints of
plum.
Pear and plum. I thought they would, like, while they were making the wine, drop in a plum. Toss in a little
bit of
pear.
Is that not what they do?
No.
They don't.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that is you. Well, Greg, this
okay.
is your story. You
so there are several different types of grapes grown in different regions.
Right.
Those grapes taste different
uh-huh.
from where, like, because of where they're grown, because of the soil and the atmosphere and all of that. And so when you make the wine, you can, it's like a suggestive taste. Hmm. It's very psychosomatic. So if I tell you you're going to taste like peach uh-huh. and a hint of chestnut,
right,
you're going to be like, oh yeah, yeah, I taste
and, chestnut.
And we came, and it was funny when we went to Napa like a month ago, and
you two went on a date to Napa.
We did
us and our ladies, and Greg and I were in great shape afterwards. Specifically myself, who immediately passed out
after
eating
dinner.
There's
a beautiful picture that I tweeted of Ryan passed out in the back of the car.
Anyways, while we were there, we started making, like Greg told me this, and my mind was blown, especially because it was full of alcohol.
Right.
And so we started just swirling the wine around and being like, I taste hints of apple and oranges. And we were just like, make shit up. And people around us were like, yeah.
Those guys are sophisticated.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you use words like, it has a nose of this and a finisher of this. On the exhale, you get this. Then you sound really interesting.
Yeah. So people are like, they know what they're talking about. Meanwhile, I'm like, fuck, this is good.
So you just learned this now, too?
I guess if I'm thinking about it, because if they did throw the fruit in there, then it's something like a sangria or something.
Right, and if we're talking like Boone's Farm, like strawberry-flavored wine, then it is strawberry-flavored wine.
Right.
But just like a red wine or a white wine, it's all the different types of grapes that give you that suggesting flavor.
The suggested of the...
It's just a way to communicate the flavor of the wine.
That's right. So it's all grape. All grape all the time.
Yes. All grape all the time. I mean, there's some sulfates and things in there just for sulfates.
What, throwing rocks
sulfates
in there?
Is the right
sulfates. Just for, like, preservatives for the bottling process. But,
you know,
all grapes all the time.
I learned a fact about orange juice recently.
Go on.
Oh, shit.
Well, just that...
this is so much more interesting than video game news,
like,
by the way.
Tropicana orange juice and big company orange juice like that, you know, it says not from concentrate.
Right.
But they have to keep them basically, like, freeze-dry the orange juice that isn't from concentrate all the time just so that it doesn't spoil. Mm-hmm. But to do that, it completely removes the flavor of the orange juice. Still orange juice, but it tastes like nothing. Huh. So they each add flavoring to it to make it... That's why Tropicana always will taste different from, like, a Minute Maid. It's just the flavoring added to the flavorless orange juice you're drinking.
Wow.
It's cool because there's a little market right by where I live, and you can go, and they have this machine, and it looks like those tennis ball, automatic tennis ball feeders.
I've seen one of those, yeah.
Yeah, but it just crushes oranges, and you get the juice right there, and then you drink it. And it's like
real fresh
having had actual real orange juice made right in front of my face compared to that kind of stuff is a world of difference.
Can we all agree Sunny D is garbage?
Oh, it's awful.
Yeah.
It's
terrible. Not
so fucking terrible. Same with Tang. I hate Tang.
Oh, I can get behind Tang.
You're a weirdo.
why would we not want something? Why would we? Like, why is concentrate bad? Why would I not want it from concentrate?
Like, I feel like in the 80s, there was just this kind of ad campaign where, you know, commercials would say, and they still do now, like, Tropicana orange juice not from concentrate. Like, they would do it to look down on other orange juices. Like, they're from concentrate. They're not as good as us.
I mean, concentrate is basically a concentrated orange juice.
Also, if you ever eat a spoonful of frozen concentrate, it's wonderful.
Really?
Yes.
I don't even know what concentrate... I've never heard...
My mom... No.
What is concentrate?
Okay, here. No, because this is how my mom used to make orange juice when I was a kid. She would buy frozen cans of concentrate.
Yeah, that had like Donald Duck on it.
And then add
and
the water.
And you open it, and it's just like this mushy... It's almost like a popsicle kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's
so mushy. They like evaporate some of the...
You just gotta mix water, it in with water, and it like dilutes it into regular orange juice.
So it's had some of its normal liquidiness evaporated
just,
in some way.
Yeah, it's just dense.
So they concentrated the orange juice, and then you have to unconcentrate it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, before we move on,
yeah,
I want to hear how little Tommy got dropped on his head.
Little Tommy got... So when I was like 5 months old or thereabouts, my sister dropped me down a flight of stairs.
That's a way better story than what I thought.
Wow.
Because apparently, like our aunts and uncles had come over to
kind of... Did you live on like the seventh floor, so you went down like seven flights?
I lived in a basement. It was just down in the basement. And my aunts and uncles came by and were like, oh, we want to see, you know, little Tommy.
Little Tommy.
My sister decided, who was about 5 years old at that point, that I was overexposed, and I was getting too much attention.
Gotta roll him into the basement.
And she was like, I gotta protect him. So she whisked me away, and in her zealous glee of getting me away from that chaotic situation, she accidentally dropped me down the
stairs. I'm just picturing that scene from Kung Pao where the baby rolls down that cliffside for like 10 minutes straight.
Yep.
Wow.
I apparently wailed every time I hit a stair and then went silent and then wailed again. It was at quite the... She was running when she dropped me,
man.
So there was quite the velocity.
Were your parents witness to that? They immediately...
You know,
I wonder if they just heard the sickening thuds.
And the...
He's just having another Tommy talk. Don't bother with him.
So
I fell down the stairs too as a baby as well.
Fell down or were thrown
down? I was hurtled. Yeah, I was hurtled down.
This was jettisoned down the stairs.
Well, now, my story, I think I was like two, and my mom, as the story my mom tells me, is that it was like she and my dad had gone over to a friend's place. And they brought me with them, and they were drinking some, and that my mom just wasn't paying. She always blamed herself for, like, I drank too much, I didn't pay attention to you. And then I got out of wherever I was and, like, just went to the stairs, just wham, just went down.
Oh, what are these things? Which I hadn't known.
Really scary. I also almost drowned.
I also have a stair story, although mine is a little more sad.
Oh. I go on.
In high school, I had many friends over.
Is this a Ryan Tajnik awful person story number 974?
Yeah. Anyways, so a couple things. First of all, I have to say I had a bunch of friends over in high school, and we're all watching a movie. And this was one of the first times I had girls and guys over at the same time. And we're all just like, we had a TV in the basement, and my mom's like, "You guys can watch on there, but just know, you know,
no funny business."
But I was like, "Mom, there's like 10 of us here. Like nothing weird is going to happen unless we all agree to an orgy."
Yeah,
which only some of us agreed to, so it didn't happen.
We're hopeful, but
but anyways, we're all getting ready to leave, and my best friend in the entire world, his name was Buddy. He's my beagle. He was my beagle, our dog.
Oh, your dog.
Yes. He was hanging out with us because he loved everybody. Right. And we're coming upstairs, and everyone's getting ready to leave. And he starts trailing up the stairs, and he's really big, fat dog. He's not big. He's a tiny little beagle, but he's huge.
He's fat.
And he's like climbing up the stairs after us, and I get to the top, and I turn the light off, the stairwell light off, because I didn't realize he was behind us until I heard... like he fell all the way back down the stairs. And the worst part is this really messed his legs up, which years later we had to put him down for because he got really bad arthritis in those legs.
Jesus.
That was super depressing.
Oh, man.
So you inadvertently...
Don't say it, Tom. I don't have the... I was with him when we put him down, and I was weeping like a little baby seal. It was awful. Yeah.
So we're going to get lambasted for having the longest tangent of all time, but I've really enjoyed this.
Okay. Do we want to talk about Dead Rising
3? Nah, Dead Rising 3 is not coming out in Germany.
Shit.
Nobody except Germany cares.
Yeah.
All right.
Previews?
Previews? Previews. So I presume that somebody this week saw XCOM Enemy Within.
I played
it was Ryan Tauschman.
I played Enemy Within, actually like 2 weeks ago. I had a pretty long embargo, but... yes, I played XCOM Enemy Within, the very large expansion coming to XCOM Enemy Unknown. If you're on PC, you can pick up the standalone expansion, or if you're a console player who played the game, you actually have to buy a whole new pack. You can't just get the expansion. You have to buy the full game bundled in with the expansion. I think it's reduced price. It's like $40. So, but in any case, what I played was they added a new enemy faction to the game, the Exalt, who are like basically these Shadow Ops dudes.
Humans.
Yes, they are human enemies. And and they think that the aliens are only here. Yes, the aliens are killing basically the entire planet, but they're only doing it because they want to, perfect mankind's evolution.
Right.
And so they say to themselves, hey, these guys know what's up. They don't necessarily team up with them because the aliens kill them too, but they... try and assist in other ways by basically just fucking with XCOM. And so you have to they have like hidden cells that you don't know about, and you recall in XCOM you have the different regions on the map, and you have to, you know, you send up the satellites and you don't want them to leave the project because you get funding from them. So they have hidden cells in some of these locations, and you have to spend money doing a satellite sweep to reveal one of the cells, at which point you can launch a covert mission, they're called. And there's like two different kinds, but basically you choose one soldier to go, and then they do their own thing for a couple days, and then you send a whole squad once you get the intel from them, and you have to extract them. But they don't have like hardly any armor, and they have just pistols. Anyways,
are they members of your crew?
They are, yeah.
So
they're your actual soldiers, right? But it's tough because you have to spend money to do those sweeps, like the same money you would use to buy satellites or upgrades. So it's really kind of adds another layer of deciding what to do with your resources. But in terms of the battles, the human enemies are a lot weaker than the aliens for the most part, but they have very, very big numbers. So they try and swarm you all at once. which is pretty much how it played out. But it was kind of cool. You know,
fighting humans now, yep. No longer.
Just I can't wait to play it.
Yeah, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Is it a standalone expansion or new game or what?
Well, I mean, it's not really a standalone thing. It adds a bunch of stuff to the core game. So, yeah, it's not something you just be like, I played through the game once, so now I can just play Enemy Within. Like, no, you'll be replaying Enemy Unknown, but with all this added stuff.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah, that'll be out in like early
the 12th.
Mid-November. November 12th.
$20?
I'm not sure.
I believe it's a full, you buy the full game, so you get Enemy Unknown with it, technically. It's but with on 360 and PS3, I think it's $40 purchase.
$40.
PC, it'll be cheaper because you're just getting the expansion.
Right.
But also keep in mind that Firaxis expansions aren't your
games.
Typical DLC. Like, these completely rebuild.
They have
like,
the PC
remake
way
the
of looking at expansions where it's like a
sizable thing. Yeah.
Firaxis. That's a good Pokemon name.
That is a good Pokemon.
I'm surprised there's no Firaxis yet.
I mean, Firaxis is...
Feraligator.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Firaxis.
What kind of alligator would that be?
A furry alligator.
A fur alligator.
It's got fur on it.
No, a furious alligator.
Oh.
I'd rather have the furry alligator.
A furry alligator.
Well, Firaligator is not...
Furgator.
A furgator.
He's not furry, though, so that's why I'm going with
He might be furry.
Anyways.
Naked. I mean,
he's pretty naked.
We could tell if he's...
Firaxis.
The next game on our preview list, Battlefield 4 multiplayer beta. I mean, it's not an official preview in the sense that we went somewhere and saw it. You can go play it right now if you pre-ordered the game.
You should probably go play it right now.
It's an open beta.
I love it.
360,
Remember
PC,
when this beta was announced PS3? By...
Medal of Honor.
Pre-order Medal of Honor Warfighter and you get Battlefield 4 beta and then... EA was like, well, we didn't announce Battlefield 4 yet, so, I mean, we're not talking about it. Like, you did announce. You can't sell it as a beta and not announce Battlefield
That's
4.
That's always been a weird... And they've been doing this kind of shit for years, where it's like on a conference call, they're like, hey, and we've got, you know, a new installment of Battlefield and Mass Effect
Need
and
for
Dead
Speed.
Space coming.
Yeah, Need for Speed
expect
just came out
to
with...
hear more about that later. And it's like, okay, you just said that it's happening. Now we can ask you questions about it, right?
Yeah, I had a similar thing recently. I don't want to derail the Battlefield thing, but I had a similar thing recently with Deep Down where I tried to get some statement about Deep Down from the U.S.
That was bizarre.
Capcom. Yeah, and they were just like, this is not a quote, but they basically acted like, well, we haven't announced Deep Down for America. Like, you announced it in America. It was announced in New York City in English to Americans. Like
during the PlayStation
the PlayStation
reveal,
4
right?
reveal. Like,
that's about as official
reveal.
As it gets.
Yeah. But apparently now they're taking it back, and they're like, hey, maybe it's just Japan only. I don't know. Who knows?
You guys got to join up to our Facebook page, and we got to get 700,000 likes before it's announced for your territory.
Is that like the Vita TV? Did they say that
still
that
hasn't been announced for outside of Asia?
So I think something like that can actually only be in Asia or Japan, because I think that involves like a network deal.
Well, if it's a tech thing, too, they might just... Like,
they're a little wonky with tech.
Yeah. I bet it will come to America recently just because there is enough interest in the West that they could sell at least a couple hundred thousand. Like, but yeah. I don't know. But
anyways, Battlefield 4.
Battlefield 4.
Pretty Greg and I have been playing a lot of it, huh?
Yes. And Coop. And we actually got
Lucas
to play. First-person shooter. And he's digging it.
Is he?
It's the Battle of Shanghai.
Yeah, there's just the one map in the beta. But that's totally fine because I've played probably 10 to 15 hours and have yet to get bored of that map.
Yeah, no, it's
Why weren't you playing League?
Incredible.
We need you.
I know, man. Well, I play enough of that game already.
Okay.
I'm surprised you have put that many hours into Battlefield.
Me too.
In spite of League.
He never sleeps. He's
and I know you, I guess we can't say what game it was, but I know you've reviewed like at least one or two games in that time as well.
Yes.
Last week.
Yes.
But Battlefield.
Battlefield.
On PC,
no
64
less.
Player. On 360, 24? 60.
Something like that, yeah.
It's drastically lower.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's the hardware cannot support it.
Also looks like garbage.
Oh, yes. Certainly, if you're ready for Battlefield 4, next-gen PC or bust.
Yeah.
IMO.
We've kind of noticed that with several games at this point where companies are just like, look, we don't care.
It, I mean, if you see some of the side-by-side screenshots, yeah. it's like they phoned it in.
It is as if they phoned it in.
Yeah, they pigeon-carried it in.
So that map, one thing I really like is it has. It feels like it is so big that it has various sections that feel like an entirely different map.
At yeah. times.
And one thing I was really, really pleased about was the fact that the skyscraper that falls is not just a scripted thing that happens no matter what. Like, you do have to shoot it with a lot of rockets to
I finally figured out exactly where you have to shoot it. It's in front of the skyscraper. There are four pillars in the front that you have to hit with at least four rockets each. And then there are two pillars on the side near the front that you have to take out also, and then the skyscraper falls.
So is it? So how long would it take to drop that thing?
If you got in a tank, that'd probably be the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have to probably get like way near, because it's kind of a horseshoe-shaped map where the skyscraper's in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So if you probably got like on one of the edges, you could have a good view and take out maybe three of the pillars, drive all the way around to the other side of the map, take out the others. Because if you were just a regular soldier with, like, C4 and explosives, you would run out of ammo, like, instantly.
Yeah.
So you could... I think the fastest I've seen it come down is, like, 15 minutes in, maybe?
Yeah.
And that's just some...
And that's fast. That is someone just doing that to bring down the building.
That's been my hesitation with this whole thing from the get-go, because it sounds like the map is basically just, like, there's going to be, like... people who just sit there and shoot a pillar for 15 minutes.
Yes, but at the same time, I've had plenty of matches where it never comes down.
Yeah.
So
and everybody
and I was curious too, because I thought for sure that thing's coming down every single match. That's the first thing people are going to do.
Right. It totally changes everything too, because not I mean aesthetically it changes everything, but also like
does it give one side an advantage?
Not at all, because it's right in the middle.
Okay.
So like,
do both sides have a interest in bringing it down?
Well, bringing it down. I mean, maybe if you can't, because it's. The
control point.
Control point is at the very top of the skyscraper. So if they have that like a lockdown, like their whole team is hanging out up there just destroying you left and right, you can bring it down, kill everyone who hasn't jumped off the roof and, you know, fled, and then you can jump in there and try and grab it. I think that's like one of the only strategic advantages to bring
it down. And I kind of like that too, because it's like, it's just a thing you can do or not. It doesn't really affect your chances of winning by any means. And one of the coolest things I had happened, though, was I was live streaming this about, what, like a little over a week ago.
Yeah.
And the very last thing that happened at the end of my stream was I was in the tower talking about, say, hey, guys, we're going to have to shut down the stream here real quick. We're about out of time. And as I'm saying that, I hear the creak, and I'm like, oh, shit, the skyscraper's falling. I ran and jumped out of the window, just like they did in, like, E3 when they were showing this off. Jumped out of the window and parachuted, and I could hear it crumbling, and I turned around, and just, like, as I'm parachuting down, the entire thing is collapsing right in front of me, sending up, like, giant pillars of smoke.
Yeah, it was
like,
pretty incredible.
Oh, my God, that is one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
And, I mean, the number of times it's gone down where I've been nowhere near it or haven't seen it is pretty high also.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't stop the game and make everybody, like, force you to look at it. It's gone down when I've been, like, way in the corner, and it doesn't affect me at all. It changes the map and makes everything really smoky and cloudy, which affects, like, aerial combat and stuff. But
so it turns it more into real Shanghai?
Yes.
From what I hear. Yeah. I've never been, but yes. Visibility is extremely low.
Pretty low.
Yeah, but it's pretty great. And if this is indicative of the
good word,
thank you, of the other maps that they're going to be producing, I can only assume that it's going to be incredible.
I'm really pumped.
Yeah,
greatest game of all time. All right. Anything else on Battlefield 4? Should we move
play
on
it.
To community
There's
segment?
There's no reason not to play it unless you're playing on 360.
Well, now it's time to.
We got
to
take a break.
We'll take a break.
Yes. Go to the reviews.
We'll take a break.
Take us out, Tommy.
We're going to take a break.
Tommy Talks.
It's time for Tommy Talk.
Taking a break. And we're back.
Thanks, Coop.
I'm still Johnny the Cooper here.
That's the worst Coop impression.
That's almost as good as my Alfred impression.
Episode 3.
Mr.
All right,
Wayne.
Let's get this going.
I think that sounds like Jack Beck. Rolf the dog.
Rolf.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Time for episode three.
What did
is
I
that
miss?
Yoda?
Is that Yoda? No, that's Jonathan Cooper.
No, it's not.
Here, wait, I'm going to do my Yoda.
Right, Yoda.
Let's do it.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Wow. I like.
Mark Hamill on our hands over here.
Who actually does Mark Hamill voice Yoda?
Frank Oz.
Yes, Frank Oz.
You were so disappointed in me just now.
I'm very disappointed in you.
How am I to know?
Frank Oz, a.k.a. Miss Piggy.
Really?
Yeah, he did a ton of Muppets. That's why he got to do, he was the puppeteer for Yoda, and he also just became a big movie director in the 80s.
Frank Oz?
Yeah, he directed Little Shop of Horrors, I think is his most famous one.
I've heard of that. I don't think I've seen it.
What else?
Good Guy Oz.
Good Oh.
I think he directed that movie In and Out with Kevin Kline. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
A movie called In and Out?
Calvin Kline.
It was about Calvin Kline's character realizing he was gay. Not about a burger chain.
Not a burger chain.
It was a coming out comedy. It was a coming out comedy made in the gay burger. Right after Ellen came out.
It was all the rage then. All
right. I remember Kevin Kline's French kiss.
Go on.
Nope, somebody got an email.
No, that was a special sound effect.
I did not play that.
I don't think we introduced somebody.
I know.
God damn it. Why did we give Tom Keys?
I don't know why you guys did that. Zach Betka is here. I actually did introduce him as John Cooper. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to talk over him?
I'm just here to talk about Beyond.
Let's talk about Beyond. Beyond Two Souls from David Cage and Quantic Dream. Is it weird to just say, oh, this is a David Cage game?
Yes.
No. It's a David Cage joint.
Yeah. I think, you know, other industries have things like Artur where you can say this is a this person movie, but video games are such a just a collaboration.
There was like 200 people working on this game.
Easy.
Well, the director isn't the only person working on a movie either. Like hundreds of people make movies now.
There is one person making all the decisions though. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes it.
Like if it's a Quentin Tarantino movie, it's a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Right. Mm-hmm. He has touched everything.
Yeah. His movies are terrible, by the way.
Really? Except for Django. Why would you say that?
Kill Bill, actually, I didn't like Django.
Kill Bill was awful.
You didn't?
I wasn't a fan.
I can leave. You can talk about Beyond. It's fine if we diss Kill Bill.
How dare you?
I'm just being a contrarian.
Kill Bill was a
I actually
a pretty good movie.
Kill Bill.
Really?
Yeah.
What about Kill Bill 2?
No, equally
Volume
bad.
Volume 2.
I don't know what that is.
That's Kill Bill.
How could you not like Inglourious Bastards?
How could you not like Pulp Fiction?
Pulp
Fiction's okay. It's overrated.
You're overrated.
Boom.
Look.
Boom.
I'm allowed to not like Tarantino.
No, I don't think you are. Get with the program,
universally unheard of.
I prefer the mastermind behind Titanic and Avatar, James Cameron.
What? Really?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
His films are masterpieces.
Was the worst film I've ever seen in my life.
I almost walked out of that movie.
That's overstating it on the other end.
It was so pathetically bad.
Aside, if you were blind, you would think that someone was trolling you.
I see you, Tommy Talks, well, and you're talking
you
pure
blind.
Shit.
Yeah. Anyways.
Avatar.
Beyond Two Souls.
Back to Beyond Two Souls.
Well, Avatar kind of goes into Beyond Two Souls, doesn't it? They have a connection.
There's a little bit of Avatar. I mean, if you're talking about the Pocahontas themes.
Well, I was just saying that they both have mocap people.
Oh, right.
I want to hear about the Pocahontas.
No, there's more direct.
A weird sex scene involving people's tails?
No, but there's a person who doesn't speak English, and Jodie, who's Ellen Page's character, speaks English to it.
Oh.
And it goes like, oh, yeah, no, we're on the same page.
Okay.
Speaking different
languages. That was a funny scene. They perfectly understood each other despite not understanding each other's language. It's very weird.
It's all in the body language.
It's all in the body language.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's talk about this game.
Yeah, yeah, please.
Well, Ryan played it, too.
I did, yes.
Well, what's so... All right, is it better than Heavy Rain?
I liked it more than Heavy Rain.
Done. Let's move on to the community.
Zach.
So, what is good about Beyond? Let's start there. What did you really like about Beyond? Because this is a very polarizing...
It's a very polarizing game. I even wrote a little editorial that came out today on Friday, whenever you're listening to this, about how polarizing it is. But I think, you know, it's... A lot of people are not calling it innovative, which I think is silly.
Well, all right, having played it, tell me what's innovative about it, because I'm stuck on this one.
Because I think it's the fact that, like, yes, we've had people play video game characters in the past, but never have we had actors have such, like, a forward role in it. Like, hey, this is Ellen Page as Jodie, and it's kind of it's kind of switching the purpose of gameplay. It's putting gameplay mechanics in the back, and I think you can agree with this, that there wasn't much gameplay in it because
sure.
it was so focused on story.
2,000 pages.
2,000
pages.
Yeah,
I thought it was 9,000 pages.
2,000. Ellen Page talked about getting the script, and she was like, oh. But, you know, it worked out.
What did I sign on for here?
Yeah. It was just a new and weird experience for all the players and all the people involved, too. When you ever hear an interview about somebody talking about the game, they're always like, this is very strange. I didn't know what I was doing. None of us did, but it turned out into this really cool thing.
So, 9,000 pages. It wasn't
2,000.
Sorry. 2,000. Yeah. It's over 9,000 pages. So, 2,000 pages, it wasn't that long of a game, right?
It wasn't 8 or 9 hours.
It wasn't 2,000 pages long.
Well,
so,
I mean,
where,
so it was
how
like
did you get 2,000 pages?
Because you have to factor in all the branching paths.
Right.
Exactly.
So that could be considered one of the innovative features.
Well, I mean, branching paths.
A lot of games have branching paths, but, you know,
to the extent that Beyond Those does,
well,
though?
It's probably no more than like
I
Heavy
mean,
Rain.
Yeah. I overheard you two talking about the game and having like very different experiences.
Well, I'll let Zach talk about this because
one of you got laid, the other did not.
One person sobbed into their pillow because of post-traumatic stress disorder, and one of us got laid. Yes,
I did not get laid.
All right, Zach. Yeah. So it is really modular. There are a lot of branching paths in it. It's because people are like complaining about how the ending actually doesn't. It doesn't change that much. You know, David Cage said the ending. There are like 22 different endings, which, yes, it's not really
they
true.
They just wear different hats in each
yeah,
one.
Yeah, there are like actually like four
one's
or five
red,
different
one's green, one's blue. Ending,
yeah, it's just being like, you can be with these people and just like depends on who has died throughout the way. But like inside of scenes, I thought it was really cool and interesting how, you know, a person will say a line and then you have four different responses from Jody that all make sense in context. And when you click one, Jody says it and Ellen Page says it so convincingly that you're like, that was like all I could have said. That was the thing to say. And the scene progresses so well through that path well, as in like it continues smoothly, not as in it's acted well down that path.
So one thing I was really happy that you brought up in your review, because this was also my experience having played through the game as well, was when you are making these decisions, it's not very often obvious that I'm making a decision right now that is going to affect where I go in this game. For a lot of the times, you really won't know if your outcome can be different. Like, because when you and I had talked after finishing it, and we had some very different experiences in terms of what we saw and what happened, it was just like, huh. Like, I never really knew there was an alternative path to that.
Yeah, so no, it's...
What do I need to say to get laid?
You get your car into first gear.
Okay.
That's all we'll say.
You'll know what he means when he says when you get to that point.
Yeah. If you do that, everything will turn out shittily.
Oh, wait.
No, don't get your car into first gear.
Don't get your car into
first gear.
If you put your car in first gear, you're going to sob into a pillow. That's what's going to happen. So.
All right.
I think I'm reading into what you're saying. Well, so I had a question.
Please.
When I went to a panel about this game at Comic-Con 2012, and Ellen Page was talking about it, and she was saying, like, well, I wanted to take this because, you know, Hollywood never has good roles for women in their films. So would you say this is a good role for her, like a step up?
You know, I would say that Jody's actually a really robust character, only because she goes through so many different things that she has to be a robust character. Mm-hmm. I would say, what do you think, Ryan? Does she have a lot of agency for, like, a young female character?
All right. So, look, we may have different viewpoints on this. My impression was I felt I was constantly saving her from problems that she couldn't have gotten out of herself.
As your magical friend, Aiden.
Yes, as Aiden, her ghost connection.
Mm-hmm.
Aiden's primary purpose in the game is as a solving.
Is it Aiden?
She says Aiden the entire time except for once when she says Aiden, so we're going to go with
that's
Aiden.
That's a little awkward.
But his entire purpose for most of the game, and you know, I liked playing as him, and I kind of wish it was a little more open in in what it lets you do as him, but one of his primary roles is saving her life, or she's trapped by some situation.
So, yeah, it's very... Aiden will only come in if he needs to be in, and you can never just like flip to Aiden and do something, which I thought was, I was a little disappointed with that.
Yeah, because even when, because you can freely swap between them most of the game, but
it doesn't,
but you can't
anything.
Do anything yeah. as him. It's just like, all right, I'm floating around.
You're just a
now
camera
I'll go
somewhere
back.
Else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, so that also kind of concerns me because at first I thought, oh, this is great. You're playing as a woman, as a main character. She's, she's strong. She can take care of herself, I thought, but now even you're still playing a lot of the game taking care of her and protecting her.
So I kind of had a different playthrough than Ryan only because I didn't have post-traumatic stress disorder, and I would say that she was a little stronger of a character.
Wow, so her entire performance from a certain point on
changes
because she doesn't have PTSD.
I just, like, I didn't have that heuristic in my mind. Like, I didn't know that happened to her. Therefore, I didn't think about it the entire game.
Yeah, and that might have helped.
So it definitely might have impacted it.
Okay.
But I will say that, and the problem is, it's like, you know when, I forgot who said it about Tomb Raider, but he was like, yeah, we want you to feel like you're protecting her. And everybody was like, whoa, don't say that about a young female character. I feel like it's not that you're protecting Jody. It's just that the way that Ellen delivers Jody's lines when she's in pain is so uncomfortable for me, at least as like a young male playing the game, that I just really feel like getting her out of her situations, which then I guess people could be like, yeah, I'm protecting her. But in essence, you protect every character you ever play in every game from dying. So what's the difference between like her and Kratos, you know?
Kratos.
Kratos?
Sorry, I say
Kratos.
Well, I think Kratos. The difference is, as Kratos, you get yourself out of trouble by murdering everything.
He fights his way out of stuff, but if you have to be an invisible ghost that helps her, like, that takes some of the agency out of her hands, doesn't it?
No, that's not those are fruit punches or something.
Yeah, that's not to say she's not ever a strong character. There are certainly moments in the game where she's handling things on
her own. I mean, she
own.
Was trained by the CIA to kill right. people.
Yeah, in that weird demo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
is
yeah,
she not
I mean,
trained by the CIA to kill people?
No, she was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's part. And one thing I liked, too, was, and it was weird because as I was reading some of the other reviews, some of them pointed out, like, okay, so the narrative is not told in a chronological order. It kind of spans this very long section of her life, most of her life.
16 years.
Yeah. And it's told from bits and pieces, and it jumps around. And I liked that I thought it gave the game a better pace because it would have been boring had it been in chronological order.
I don't know. It's kind of like, you know, when you see Memento and then you're like, oh, I want to see it like normal way. And then you see it the normal way and it's just as good. Or maybe that was my...
That's not how I felt about it.
Okay, I liked it. But anyway, I actually didn't like how it jumped around a lot. Only because I didn't think they did the time transitions well enough.
I was
always confused about how old she was. I was always confused where it fit in into the timeline during the scene. I would love to play it in chronological order to see how it is. It made it more interesting, but I don't know.
No, I totally agree with you. I liked that what it did in terms of now I'm playing as her as a kid, and this is very much a here's why Jody is where she is in her life versus a segment where I'm playing as Jody as a CIA agent and I'm doing things as that Jody. But I do agree that rarely did the transitions make sense.
Yeah, exactly.
Rarely did it have any effect aside from affecting what you're doing at any given time in the game. It was a huge, huge missed opportunity to use that phrase that's tossed around so much. But it was.
It definitely was.
It rarely had any impact.
Especially when you stepped back when she was like a super angsty punk rock teen and that didn't influence anything else in the game. And you're like,
it's
why
just a
are we
section
angry?
That was there and gone and never referenced again, which a lot of that game was.
I agree.
To an upsetting point for me, at least.
Maybe Cage just saw her as like a character he could just throw... insert into like multiple short stories that he's just like he wanted to make
that's
a bunch
actually,
of little short film.
No, that's a good point because
totally.
Like Jody is the point of Jody is to be kind of that character who helps others to the like sacrifice of herself. She's supposed to be what's what I'm looking for. Whatever.
Self-sacrificing.
Whatever. A martyr character. So yeah, all of Jody's things are just these disconnected short stories about her sacrificing her own well-being to help others.
Well,
every single scene.
It sounds like it's a case of like not having control over your story. Like you, our real lives are like that. Like I had a punk. Well, I mean, I didn't. But let's pretend like I dyed my hair pink when I was 19.
Yeah.
That was a segment of my life. Just as you know, there was the segment in Jody's life where she was a punk rock teen. Now I'm not a punk rock teen. When Jody's 30, she's not a punk rock teen. But that was still a thing that happened to her. But normally, when you're telling a story, you kind of like leave out the bits that aren't kind of
super useful.
Yeah, like contributing to the overall story.
It's true, but if it would have informed her character when she was... Like, if you were a punk rock teen when you were younger, I bet that would have changed your personality right now. Whereas Jodie, when she was older, had, like, no traces
of that.
Like,
yeah.
That just seems like something that he should have...
Not
included.
Yeah.
Because it's just, like, a...
How long was this game?
At that point.
10-ish hours?
Yeah, around 10.
Okay.
I'm just kind of curious. Okay, so let's talk real quick, because there are... And without, obviously, no spoilers.
Yeah.
We will be doing a spoiler cast for this game.
It's going to be really exciting.
Very soon, like in a week or so. So stay tuned for that. But there are two scenes in the game that are very unlike... I don't know if maybe you're thinking of the same two. But anyways, there are a couple scenes in the game. Uh-huh. Let's just say that instead of two. But okay. There are a couple scenes in the game that are entirely...
You realize a couple and two. It's a synonym.
A few, perhaps. I don't know.
Okay.
But there are three scenes. How about some?
Several?
Some scenes in the game that are completely unlike
okay.
where you think it's going at all.
Okay.
Now, you thought that at least one of these scenes in particular was kind of a strong scene that gave her...
Yeah. Okay, so...
Be more cryptic.
Let me ground it.
Okay.
You know, Henry brought up the point of vignettes, and Ryan is saying that there are multiple vignettes that seem to have nothing to do with anything, and you're playing it for hours and being like, why am I here?
Yes.
And then it's over. So, this is really campy of me, but the game is called Beyond Two Souls because this goes beyond two souls. It goes beyond Jodie and Aiden. And so having these disconnected scenes where we see her completely removed from everything, but still staying true to what Jodie is, I think was really, really important. If we're talking about vignettes of her life, then not every single second of her life is going to be the CIA, you know, moving the story forward. Mm-hmm. When Jodie was removed, I was having a great time because I was like, I am removed too. Let's just explore and see what's going on.
Yeah. And I agree in the sense that one of those scenes for me was very powerful. In fact, it was probably one of my favorite pieces of that entire game because everything in it felt like just... unlike... In any other scene in the game, like, you really felt connected with those characters at that point in time.
Yeah, you'll see, you know, with me and Sophia were talking earlier about, you know, where was the disconnect between the characters? Was it, like, the actors weren't acting well? Something with the sound mixing? I don't know what it was, but that was actually one of the reasons why I got such a low score, is because none of the characters at all felt like they had chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
None of them. Her love interest, Willem Dafoe's character, they all just, like, talked at each other.
Right.
I did not like that at all.
The only time I didn't feel that way was during this one particular
that
sequence.
We will illuminate during the spoiler cast.
But then the other one that I'm thinking of in my head, I just almost ruined the game for me because I thought it was so stupid that it was just completely so far out.
We will discuss.
What did you give the game?
Gave it a 3.5 after much debate.
Much debate. Right.
3.5 out of 5.
So that's a cautious recommendation. It definitely is worth playing so long as you're willing to put up with some of its weirdness.
Let me put a note to that.
Okay.
It's a 3.5, but I would recommend everybody plays the game.
I had no regrets playing it. It was
none.
Fun.
Very good.
It was cool.
So that's the only review we're going to talk about this week, but we do have things to move on to, such as...
Kick it off. All right. Last week's question of the week was, if you could have Assassin's Creed go into another era...
Should we start with the question of the week, or should we start with corrections? Comments, clarifications, retractions, and apologies.
That was not the tune for corrections.
There were no corrections anyway. I mean,
we were flawless last week.
That seems unlikely.
I believe the song you should have played in that particular moment in time was the Game Deals song.
We're all over the place.
I guess we'll just have to listen to the community
take
segment.
My advice, do as I say, save a little money for a rainy day.
Hope. There we go. All right, so looking at the deal segment, did you crinkle the paper?
Sorry.
Can I have one that's
a bad habit.
Usable?
I don't like paper.
PlayStation 3, if you're interested in Dragon's Crown, you can pick it up for $38 at Newegg. Gran Turismo 6 pre-order will give you, there's a $10 off coupon code. I'm going to read this coupon right now.
No.
EMCWXWX77, $50 for a $60 game. Beyond Two Souls. Hey, you can trade in $20 worth of used games, get an additional $20 credit towards your purchase of Beyond Two Souls. That's at Amazon.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Do that.
That makes it
do
incredibly
that.
Cheap.
It's at Amazon. Yeah. Splinter Cell Blacklist is $40 on Amazon. Bureau, XCOM Declassified is $30. You can pick that up if you're...
That's worth $30.
I bet that'll be $20 in 2 weeks.
Saints Row 4 Commander in Chief Edition, $38.37 at Amazon. Tomb Raider is $20 at Amazon. Moving on to the 360.
Amazon.
Splinter
the
Cell.
The same
backlist.
Deals you just read.
No.
Yes.
These
yes.
are all for Xbox 360.
That's true. Many several. You'll
Raider.
Find on the Xbox 360.
Amazon.
Amazon. on the DS, you can get the Nintendo DSi XLF in the Midnight Blue Shade for $99.96 at Walmart.
Walmart.
You're reading this in such a sensual way that I can't help but listen to the deals.
It was when he said Midnight Blue. Thing got sexy. Blue.
iOS, you can get Costume Quest. Is that a deal of $5 for costume? I don't know.
I
XCOM Enemy
on
Unknown.
On iOS, I guess.
On iOS. $10 for the iTunes on the PC. Jet Set Radio. Hey, have you ever played Jet Set Radio? It's downloadable. Gamersgate for 75
Eurocents.
Eurocents. That's a pound.
Why the fuck is that?
Is that
oh,
a pound?
UK
is that a pound
only.
Or a euro?
That's
75
the UK.
Oh,
listener.
That's pounds.
That's right.
Pound cents.
How do you say that? Is that
0.75
pence?
Pounds.
75 pence.
0.75 hay pennies.
Hay pennies? No.
A six pence?
No, I don't. Let's just call them point pounds.
Pound
point pounds.
Pounds.
Pound pennies. That's like pound puppies.
Pound pennies?
Did you ever have a pound puppy?
I had a pound puppies. Puppy.
I had a garbage pail kid once.
Yeah. I had
it's
cabbage
the deal
patch
with garbage
kid.
Pail kids.
I had the trading cards. I had all sorts of them.
Were they in
all
garbage?
Sorts.
Oh, no. They were just like... They were the Cabbage Patch Kids, which were all like sunshines and butterflies.
Yeah.
Garbage Pail Kids were like kids who lived in a junkyard and like had worms in their diapers.
It
they
was a yeah,
awful.
It was a parody card.
They were all over my house. I don't know why. Now that I think about
nobody
it, there was
fucking orphanage kids were all over my house.
Can
hanging
you get
out
them on
my garbage.
Amazon?
You can get them on Amazon for $9.99. Saints Row 4 physical copy $44.99 at Amazon. Borderlands 2. Gamersgate. Am I really supposed to read all of these?
Well, you can stop
look,
it. You can
we
stop
have a goddamn
point.
Post that goes up on the website. It's called Deals Radar.
Why don't you go to Deals Radar to see all these deals and more?
We posted every
read
Thursday.
The others. Those are at least interesting.
Left 4 Dead Tank Statue, $129.99 at ThinkGeek. Half-Life 2 Headcrab Zombie Statue, $129.99 at ThinkGeek.
ThinkGeek.
No, thanks.
Borderlands 2 Download, $13.58 at Gamersgate. Warhammer 40K Space Marine. Fuck it. All deals right, Radar. Why was this even part of the show?
Amazon.
Yeah, we do the
Amazon.
Deals. We do the deals each week. People like a deal segment right. is integral.
There we go.
Can you please
the deals
play?
Segment. Check the website every Thursday. We throw up a post on deals. You could get...
literally threw up a post.
We throw up a post...
all over the site.
It's just a post all over the site, and it'll give you a good deal at places like Amazon.
and Gamersgate.
Gamersgate.
Walmart.
Okay, now.
Radio Radar Community Segment. Greg
Hager. All right.
That sounds like the band Magnetic Fields to me.
I've heard the Magnetic Fields. Not bad.
The Magneta Fields.
The
Magneto Fields.
Question of the week.
The Magneto Fields.
Where would you like a new Assassin's Creed to be set?
The Magenta and, Fields.
Unoriginal said, with the Assassin's Creed series getting more ocean-based, the next natural step would be Assassin's Creed 5 in Scandinavia, parkouring Vikings.
Jesus
hell
Christ,
yeah.
Wow. That's the best idea I've ever heard.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
You can
great.
Play as, like, Leif Erikson.
Ghost Chill says, I always thought Assassin's Creed should be more modern times, possible World War II as Allied spies killing... oh, my God!
That was
that
loud.
That was too loud.
I have no idea.
Jesus Christ. Sorry,
I will
Ghost
never
chill.
Tell them on again. I don't know why it's so loud.
I don't want to repeat the sentence because I feel like it'll happen again. Killing Nazis in fun and interesting ways and wearing some Arnett sunglasses.
Hell yeah, Arnett's.
Dango Mushi says, Dinotopia, dudes.
That would be amazing.
That would be incredible. I loved Dinotopia. Migrongster I'd love
Fuck,
to see
that's a long time. Really long.
I'd love to see 1850s San Francisco set against the backdrop of the near frontier and the gold rush. You get the same burgeoning city aspects of 3, naval missions access of Battlefield 4, and seriously rich backdrop for story.
Wow.
Plenty of intrigue with the influx of gold mines, on and on and on. Various coastal missions of Spain and Mexico's influence on California, as well as quick boat trips down to the Aztec ruins of Mexico.
Wait, that one didn't win?
No.
Wow. I mean, that's a really good idea.
Big Rockstar's won some shiz in the past.
Right. Dang.
I don't just
Sorry, Big Rockstar.
Hand it out to people who've won all the time. Throw in some quality
but still,
Zorro-esque swashbuckling.
Submit your entries, even if you've won.
I'm going to read the good entries.
Right.
Because
you'll still get fame. You just won't
get
fortune.
All good entries.
Laser Janus 21 said, the 1980s Miami would be interesting. let's see. So this one was called out as absolutely they're going to read it on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Definitely I'm reading this. No Girls, I Want a Jetpack. I'd like to see it in a cyberpunk Chicago starring an assassin named Aiden Pierce.
Nope.
You can hack the world to do crazy things and alter traffic patterns or rob an ATM.
Hey, that's a pretty good idea. Somebody should get on that.
Oh, my God.
Tranquil Bees 34, Australia between the years 1788 and 1901 before we became an official country and were just a prison colony for England.
Are they still a prison colony for England? I thought, right.
And you feel that way when you're down
Australia?
There.
Australia? I was joking.
Dude, there's some salty dogs in Australia.
I was making fun of Australia.
Real salty
I've
dogs.
Heard
Real
very salty unashamed dogs. Of their racism. They're just like very open, like, man, we're racist.
If you're from Australia, let us know.
Let us know the most racist thing you've ever done.
Send Greg H.
Greg H. Greg Henniger at Greg H.
For the winner of this week. Nolan South. For Assassin's Creed, I'd like to see 1900 Chicago. Buildings can be relatively short for easy climbing. Guns aren't totally ridiculous just yet.
Blunderbuss.
And I want to see a modern take on the Assassin's wardrobe. Make guns in the game a bit rare so you aren't forced to use them. And think of plenty intriguing Assassin's Creed ways to kill people. Yeah. So, Nolan South, you've won yourself something from the gift pile. Go ahead and contact Greg H. at GamesRadar.com.
Just bunch of random shit we got lying around.
A bunch of shit. No, we actually added some cool stuff in there. So,
what's the coolest thing we have right now?
Well, I sent out to the Monopoly,
right?
Because he won,
right?
What is the coolest
Guild
thing
Wars 2? Oh, that thing.
The Guild
is
Wars
amazing.
2 like special edition
statue,
signed concept posters, or
yeah,
something.
It's
Henry,
it's
should
a whole
we get
thing.
That thing off your desk?
Well, what? Not my Ninja Turtle. No. Well, no, there's something Batman related. Maybe we'll give away when Batman's.
Yep, there's
out.
A pretty awesome Batman figure thing on there. But plenty of games.
Man, I got in such an argument with a guy I used to work with because.
he called them toys?
He likes.
Action figures.
He knows the difference between an action figure and a figurine.
Uh-huh.
I do not.
Yeah,
so I made the mistake of calling a bunch of his
figurines
action figures. And I was corrected.
Well, I think action figures have poseability. They move around.
Right,
they can do
right.
Action.
Figurine is just a statue. Yeah. Action figure can be posed.
They can strike action poses. Yep.
He had a collection of newsmen.
Newsmen.
Like various newsmen action figures.
What?
Like the guy in Simpsons. Who's
Kemp Brockman.
Yeah, yeah. So just various newsmen that have appeared in either cartoons or...
What an interesting niche.
Yeah.
Niche.
He's an interesting guy.
A Nietzsche.
Did he consider himself a journalist?
Yeah. Brendan Sinclair. Some of you may know him.
I am not a journalist.
He works... I think he writes for Euro... Or no,
U.S.
GamesIndustry.biz right now.
Oh, okay.
He's a good guy.
Good guy.
Good guy. Apparently, all of our shows are being... All right. GameSpot redesigned their goddamn website, as some of you know, but they apparently obliterated all of the old podcasts. All of the old hotspots have just eaten shit.
What? So that was your podcast?
That was my old podcast.
What did you do on this show? And did you have any people that listened to it?
Were you Tommy on that
show? We had about... 5 times the audience that this show has.
Oh, I see.
What is our audience? We don't even
audience?
Know.
Audience?
Let's checked.
Not tell the people. I don't
no,
want
there's about 3,000 people who regularly listen to the show. About 3,000.
Secrets out of the bag. Thanks, Tom.
When was the last time we looked at that number?
About 2 weeks ago.
Okay, that's pretty recent.
It's fairly recent.
It's a good number.
But if you're looking for a way to increase that number, how about you go to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating?
Yeah.
Because that will actually make it so our show gains momentum.
Also, tell your friends about
us. You could tell your friends.
So I can't even go back to Hotspot and listen to like the one they recorded after Jeff got fired and everybody's like crying on it.
Oh, man, that was a bad one. God, what a day. Holy
shit.
Were
you on that?
Did you cry?
Wasn't on that, but I was there when he
was there actually crying?
It was a very disruptive event. But
Alex
I
Navarro
think the only hotspots that actually survive at this point are the video podcasts that I did.
Oh.
Probably still got other YouTube channels.
Also, I'm toying around with the idea of doing more video live podcasts
live.
For Radio Radar.
Radio
Maybe
Radar.
Like one out of every 10
okay.
will be a live podcast.
Live to
So
tape.
If you like that idea and you liked our, what was it, 50th podcast?
It was the
live one.
Number 50.
That
was a good show.
If you liked that, let us know because we thought they were fun.
Yeah.
You guys seem to enjoy yourselves.
We've got to finish this.
Yes,
we do have to finish this.
New question of the week.
I have a new question of the week.
We have it.
Yeah.
It just came in the mailbox.
Henry, what's the new question of the week?
Well, it's
does anybody remember what it was?
No, David Cage just made a game starring Ellen Page and Willem Dafoe. If you could cast his next game with movie stars or TV stars, who would they be? I'll go first. You know, David Cage has made so many games that were unintentional comedies and with very silly things that he thought were very serious. I think he should make a real comedy next. That could end up being a deadly serious game. But if he were to make real comedy, I think it should be like a two girls adventure between two women starring Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
That would be awesome.
Huh.
Wow. I'd watch it.
If let's say David Cage's next game spectacularly pulls off whatever vision he has and everyone agrees that it was wonderfully written, I would want it to star my two favorite badasses, Leonardo DiCaprio and Edward Norton.
Oh!
That's what I want.
That's a good pick.
That's a great... Yeah. Nice.
I would watch that.
Yeah, I would too.
I don't think they'd cast Edward Norton because I hear he's very difficult on film.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's why he wasn't in Avengers, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, he was. When he filmed Hulk, he disagreed with everybody on it. And same with, like, what was that, the Italian Job remake he did? He apparently, like, pissed off everybody there, too.
Why the fuck are there sonar sirens coming
Don't worry about that.
It's the radar.
Don't worry.
Oh, my God, Tom, your computer.
It's not my computer.
All right, well, keeping with the theme, keeping with the question of the week, I would say his next game should star Beyonce...
Uh-huh.
And Gerard Butler and a buddy cop.
Oh,
Jesus Christ. because Beyonce might or might not be my idol and my goddess.
Beyonce's
so
pretty good.
Love me some Beyonce.
Pretty good.
Gerard Butler, I feel like, is just like really good to look at. So
it's
then
fine.
Just boom, boom, it's perfect. So all
yeah.
done.
A goddess and a god all in one.
I want Javier Bardem.
Javier Bardem.
Javier Bardem.
Who is that?
It's the guy who he was in the Skyfall as the villain.
He was Chief.
He's No Country for Old Men.
Oh, okay.
I just love his voice. There's
he's
something about
great.
His voice that I want to hear.
He was so good in Skyfall.
I guess he's Spanish, but
anyways, who else?
Yeah.
Beyonce. I want Beyonce and Javier Bardem in a movie.
Star-crossed lovers.
Star-crossed lovers. It's an interracial thing. It's very taboo. It'll be good. It'll be good.
Holy shit.
Greg? I would want to see some really strong character acting, so I would probably go with... Johnny Depp.
Oh, gross.
Johnny Depp's a strong
I want strong
I
character
strong
acting.
Character
insert
actor.
Worst actor of all time.
As far... who's... Okay, give me a good character.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
He's
Daniel
Day... not a good
Helen
character.
Helen
Daniel Day-Lewis. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, she is.
Daniel
Christian
Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
DDL.
Daniel Day-Lewis would be great in a David Cage.
Yeah, he would
Christian Bale.
Character actor.
Yes.
Christian Bale.
Dude, have you seen American Psycho?
I have. Have you seen all of his
All
other
right,
movies?
Let's let Greg have
what
his
an
weird
excellent
picks.
Character.
Let's let Greg have his really bad picks. Come on, Greg. What's number two? I'm sorry. I didn't mean that.
Yes, you did.
I only know three Everyone's actor hurting. Names, so I used two of them already.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say.
And so that I know
Beyonce.
So that I know Cindy will play it. your
no,
I'll get Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Now I have to play this game.
Joseph
Gordon-Levitt
will be in there. And all
ladies
the women.
Real quick, so the audience knows, my girlfriend's obsession with Joseph Gordon-Levitt knows no bounds, to the point where she told me if she had the opportunity to see him in person,
she'd skin
not
him.
Even speak to him, but
just see him,
she would first kill me, then eat me, my entire body.
And she delivered this in this is real talk right
yeah,
now.
Just randomly, out of nowhere, I got an IM from her at work. She's like, hey, just a heads up. If ever I could see Joseph Gordon-Levitt, I would A, murder you, then B, consume your entire body.
Just to cover the trail.
Also, love you. See you tonight. I'm like, what the fuck just happened?
While we go see the new movie by Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Don John.
How was that movie,
by
the way?
It was terrible.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was not. It was
all right.
Was it about Don Johnson?
No, it's about Joseph Gordon-Levitt as a porn addict.
Mm-hmm. Porn addict?
Yes, he's addicted to porn.
And Scarlett Johansson
to watching porn.
Rom-com addict?
Addicted to you.
Yeah, and she's a rom-com addict, so they each have very different versions of what a relationship
Do they end up
reconciling
their...
No, I'm not going to say.
Why not? I'm not going to see it. All right, audience, turn this off.
Anyways.
I want to know.
Our audience loves Don John. Everyone's a big fan.
Oh, well, that's...
It's not really our... Not really our genre.
That's not our genre. All right.
Our genre.
Yeah, I think we're out of time.
Don genre. I won. I win the podcast.
Damn it!
All right. On that note.
Answer the question. Leave it in the comments. Send Greg an email.
Some random shit we got lying
signals.
Around the office.
Who gives a fuck? Let's do it.
That's it for this week. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you all for joining me on the podcast today. Radio Radar out!
All right, so the question is, which conveys a more important message?
Bam. Oh, wow.
Jeez.
Slam.
Boom. I'm going to go first. I got The Sims. It conveys the message that you're not in control of your life, and someone else is pulling the strings, and you're a hopeless, barely sentient being dropping food on the floor because you can't find a table.
That's... literally never happened to me in my life.
I've seen it happen to you.
I went with NBA Jam because
that has happened to me in my life.
Well, it teaches you, you know,
to jam.
Well, not only to jam, but to overcome adversity in the face of overwhelming odds.
You know? Got
it's
jammed.
Just like, yeah. I mean, when you're up against a better team of people that have more talent than you, you can overpower them. By just catching your ball on fire and slam dunking right over their faces.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mine is the Oregon Trail.
Yes.
It teaches you that family is important, but if one of them dies, you know, you got to just move on and make your way to Oregon. If someone gets dysentery, you know, you got to take care of them too or be ready to say goodbye. And it tells you that you need to buy a lot of ammunition because you're going to kill lots of bears and deer to get meat.
More bears than you could ever eat.
Mine is Blam Epic Mickey. It's teaching you not to forget where you came from. Because Mickey and Mortimer, right? Mortimer Mouse?
No.
Oswald the Lucky
Oswald,
Rabbit?
Oswald, damn it.
Mortimer Mouse?
Who's Mortimer Mouse?
That's not even a thing that exists.
Look, I had a really nice thing going, and then I screwed it up by saying Mortimer
Epic
Mouse.
Epic Mickey teaches you that Mickey has only ever been in one good video game, and it came out in, like, 25 years ago.